This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
Max Garland, Wisconsin's poet laureate, has a long history with the state's rural landscape. In an essay for the Reedsburg Fermentation Festival newsletter, he says Wisconsin's farmlands and natural areas can be a source of wonder and even of artistic inspiration.
We'd love to hear from you on this. Do you stop and gaze at the rolling farmlands and pastures in Wisconsin? And do you feel a sense of wonder and inspiration out in the country? Do you have a favorite view? Call 800-642-1234. 1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org.
Poet laureate Max Garland joins us now from our studio in Eau Claire. His piece, Cultivating Wonder, is posted on the Fermentation Festival website. Max, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Well, nice to be here.
You write that you were re-inspired while bicycling on the loop around Reedsburg last year, I guess, during the Fermentation Fest. What did you see that got you thinking?
Well, it was hard not to be taken aback or impressed. Let's see, what did I see? I saw an operatic soprano singing on the hillside with a dress made out of corn stalks and being accompanied by a piano. I saw a 6600 John Deere that it had the metal panels taken out and replaced with stained glass. I saw a hillside in which there were dozens and dozens of kites shaped and spotted like Holsteins. And so all in all, it was a pretty remarkable, and that's not mentioning how beautiful the landscape from Reedsburg to Lime Rock and Ironton actually is on its own, but this idea of putting art out in the already beautiful landscape, that's what sort of triggered my thinking about this sort of idea of cultivating wonder.
And this isn't anything new. You wrote the piece near the Man Mound in Reedsburg. Humans have a long history of combining art and Wisconsin's outdoors.
Right. I mean, at first one might think, well, this is an unusual thing. There's art in the countryside, and this festival every October is something that, might be interesting to drive or stop and look at. However, the point I try to make in the essay is that people have, in the rural areas of Wisconsin, have been making art as long as they've been here. Our great-grandmothers, our great-great-grandmothers spent those long winter nights making quilts that weren't just useful, but they were beautiful. Even before, in the early days of the European settling, it was hard work in those lumber camps, but every one of them had a fiddler. So there was an understanding that art and beauty and wonder were necessary, even when the bare necessities were barely taken care of. But finally, the point I make is that for thousands of years, drums, chants, stories, songs, poems, and all of this sort of exemplified for one of the most amazing works of art, rural art, which is a 214-foot human-shaped effigy mound just outside of Baraboo that's about 1,000 years old. And that to me was this idea of fashioning something that's amazing and that is a work of art into the countryside, even into the land itself, goes back further than we really have memory of. And the day that I sat there by the Man Mound, this huge effigy mound, and wrote the essay, it was covered with thousands and thousands of violets, which coincidentally is Wisconsin's state flower.
Now, when you are out there looking at the landscape, maybe getting your own inspiration, do you feel like you're communing with the people who built that mound and the people who made those quilts?
I can't even, I can't presume to know what the people, we don't even know for sure. Probably the late woodland people, maybe 1,000 years ago, but there's so much that we don't know. But even an amateur such as myself, I can commune in this way. Here is a human shape. It might be a spirit. It might be a divine figure. And it's made out of earth. And every ounce of earth, every handful of earth in it is made out of living organisms. And so am I. And so at least, I'm not going to pretend to be an anthropologist or archaeologist, but I can figure that much out.
Let's bring in a caller at 800-642-1234. We've got Ariel in Delafield. Ariel, hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love Wisconsin. I am inspired daily by just the beautiful scenery that I see while bicycling around or driving around in my area, which is the Southern Tenebrain State Forest.
And what is it? How does it inspire you? How does it make you feel?
It just makes me feel happy. I see cranes in the fields or fawns when I pull into my subdivision, or just the sunbeams shooting through the twilight sun as it goes through the white pines. Like, it's just gorgeous, and it makes me feel peaceful and calm and just full of beauty. And I think that when people take the moment to look at that sun ray as it goes through the trees, or feel the cool air as you go into the forest further, like when you take those moments of reflection, of calmness, of really a spiritual cleansing, that's really what's happening to you. And I think that helps you be just better, happier.
Ariel, thank you so much for that call. Max, I don't know if Ariel is a poet, but her description of the landscape came out kind of poetical. Does it kind of naturally flow?
It really did. It's two or three things are interesting about that. One is what she mentioned, the cranes, the deer, the white pines, all of these things that we really identify with Wisconsin, were preserved at some point. They were almost completely eliminated. The town where I am right now, is the reason that it's here in the way it is because of white pines, and they were almost all cut down in an amazingly short time. But people stopped from the brink. They realized what she realized, you know, to some extent in the nick of time. And now we understand that we work and we are a part of that. We have to manage it. You know, we have to be, if we want it to continue, we have to pass it on if we want it to keep coming. And another thing she talked about stopping.
Yeah.
We all recognize that when we fly across the country or we fly to another country, we become disoriented. We don't know where we are. We can't eat right. We can't sleep right. We're not experiencing things, and we call that jet lag. It's my contention that every time you drive across the state, which I've driven 17,000 to 18,000 miles across it in the last year and a half, you have a sort of mini jet lag. You have to wait until you slow down enough to figure out where you are, and you can see and hear and feel and smell and really get back onto human time. And I rode my bike here, and I was watching hundreds and hundreds of cars at what, you know, what we call rush hour here in Eau Claire. And I was thinking, we're in the state so often. And when we're in the state, what we don't realize is that the land itself is actually moving. Once we stop and look at the shape of the hills and the shape of the river and the streams, we realize that, oh, it's moving too. It's not a static thing. It's not inert. And once we realize, you know, pick up a handful of dirt and we realize, oh, and this is not inert. This is full of more living organisms than there are people on Earth. And once you take that time and you're slowing down, then suddenly the idea of the wonder of where you are and what your relationship to that place is begins to sort of kick in.
Do we take it for granted, this treasure we have?
Yes, we take it for granted because we are bombarded by sales pitch and propaganda and all sorts of things that cause us to want to hustle and move from place to place. We think the greatest sin is not being busy. And once you do slow down, and you think, oh, yes, this land is moving. It always was. Oh, this land is not dead. It's full of living organisms. I'm holding in my hand billions of them. And then you realize that the hand itself of 27 bones also contains many living organisms, microbes, bacteria. And so that relationship to that place really takes you back to what I think might have been one of the messages of the people who, over the course of months, if not years, built the Man Mound, which is, this is our home. We are made of this.
We're talking to Wisconsin poet laureate Max Garland about Wisconsin's rural and natural landscapes. He says they're an amazing source of inspiration and wonder.
And we'd love to hear from you. Do you agree with this? Does this resonate with you? Call 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite view in Wisconsin? Do you just love walking, driving, soaking in the farmland? Have you been inspired creatively by those landscapes? Call 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email talk@WPR.org.
We'll continue the conversation after the news. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We continue our conversation with State Poet Laureate Max Garland. We're talking about his recent essay on Wisconsin's rural landscapes. He says they're a source of wonder and artistic inspiration.
And you can join the conversation with a call at 800-642-1234. Do you find yourself inspired or entranced by Wisconsin's landscapes, or do you find yourself wishing you made more time to just stop and observe, watch, look, listen? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Max, before we get back to our callers, we've been talking a lot about the visual. You also write a little bit about the soundscape of the places you're talking about. What do you listen for there?
It takes a while if you're traveling across the interstate, and to get that roar out of your, you know, the vibration and the roar out of your ears to start hearing and differentiating between the things that you're hearing. I was leading a group of students a few years ago, and we were just doing an orientation, and I was pointing out, well, that's a white pine, that's a tamarack, that's an elm tree, it's probably doomed, that's a crow, and I was doing these things, and this girl said she thought she had made a mistake. I thought I signed up for an English class, and here I was, you know, telling her what the sounds of these birds were and all that. And she said, how do you know all this? And I said, well, I live here. I mean, it seemed like the kind of thing that you should know if you live in a place, what things sound like, the names of things, the differences between trees. For many, many thousands of years, it's been necessary to know that in order to survive. And even though we may think it's not necessary, there is still something about understanding who we are and our relationship to the world in which we live that I think still makes it necessary to pay attention to the place we live and the parts of that, the sounds, the sights, the smells, the shape of the land.
We'll go back to our callers now. We've got Kurt on the line in Wauwatosa. Kurt, hi.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I just chimed into this program on my way home from work here, and I felt compelled to call right away. One of the things that really inspires me about Wisconsin is the ancient landscape that is so readily overlooked by many people that are not aware of the ancient landscape that's going around us. And in particular, the Epagee Mound landscape of Wisconsin. It's been a source of inspiration for me since I was a small boy, and it's one of the main reasons why I head out and spend time in the, especially a lot of the rural areas of Wisconsin. I am an archaeologist by trade, and one of the things that is really unique about Wisconsin is this ancient Epagee Mound culture that we have. And there are literally thousands of ancient Indian mounds all over the state that that are being protected by various groups of people and inspired people even 1,000 years later.
Kurt, thank you so much for sharing that. We talked about one of the mounds, Max, but I like the way you put it, part of our ancient landscape that we still walk among here in Wisconsin.
I think that's true. And whenever we talk about the heritage of art, we have to remember that it's been going on here for thousands of years, 10 to 12,000 years. This the confluence of the rivers where I am right now, people taught other people how to make things and how to do things and how to sing things and how to remember things. And it's a long tradition, and it's still a part of our tradition as well.
Thanks a lot for the call. We'll go now to Nathan with us in Platteville. Nathan, hi.
Hi. One of the things that I always thought was amazing about Wisconsin was there's like two different types of land here. And I grew up in Platteville and Dodgeville, and just seeing the rolling hills all my life. And then when I got married, I went on a honeymoon to Minocqua, and just being surrounded by the forest and seeing the lake, it's like you have two different universes in one state, and you get to see the gorgeous rolling hills where you can see it like as far into the horizon, and then you're up in the northern part where you're just surrounded by woods and you can feel nature's closer. And it's just traveling between those two really reminds you of the great difference Wisconsin holds and why it's such a, one of our greatest states.
Nathan, thank you so much. I'll see your hills and forests and raise you some bluffs and a winding Wisconsin River, too. There's so much diversity, Max.
And how about those Dolomite cliffs on the southeast side of Door County with the caves and all of those things that have been carved away at for the last few million years, and the driftless area south of here where all of these the amazingly sinuous Kickapoo River. You can't believe how many times it turns. And so there's a lot of that.
Thanks a lot, Nathan, for sharing that. We'll go now to Willem in Colfax. Willem, hi.
Hi. I totally agree with what he says about the beauty of the land and just noticing all the different birds and the trees and the quality of living in this beautiful environment. I live in eastern Dunn County, close to western Chippewa County, but things are changing very quickly with industrial frac sand mining, and I don't think that, like, it worries me that what happened with all the white pines were clear cut, but those things grow back, but hills don't grow back, and our peace and quiet don't grow back, and it's close to where I live, and I'm not a person that objects to this because this is close to where I live. I didn't like it when it started over by Hoffman Hills, but now they're proposing a 2,000-acre mine in western Chippewa County. People should look at the Chippewa County website and see how big this mining industry has exploded in western Chippewa County, a beautiful part of the state. The rolling hills everyone's speaking of, those are being carted off.
Willem, thanks a lot for the call. Max, so you're in Eau Claire. This is going on in your neck of the woods. Is this a concern for you when you think about the future of the landscapes we talk about?
Well, I am glad that someone left the hills for us. I am glad that the river, though it's had its trials, still flows through here. And the point, I think, of what I was saying, slowing down, looking around you, recognizing what's around you, it gives you a sense of wonder. And that word is connected with awe, astonishment, amazement. And the upshot of that sense of wonder is that you want to preserve it. You want to pass it on. You don't want to take it and use it up. The river that I'm just talking about that I crossed a few minutes ago and I'm going to cross a few more minutes, it still has a lesson for us, as those hills do, as that mound does. And the lesson that river has for us is if you want to keep it coming, you have to pass it on. And that has to do with art, tradition, wisdom, education, and certainly has to do with the beauty of a place, because the beauty is part of the value of the place. It's part of what makes our life worth living.
Go back to our callers now with Paul in Laval. Paul, hi.
Hi, how's it going? I actually live right on the route of the Farm Art Detour where you're taking your bicycle ride. Yeah, so you passed our little 10-acre farmette, and one thing I kind of noticed, I grew up in southern Illinois, and I lived 25 years in Chicago. I think a lot of people, a lot of local people take for granted how beautiful this area really is and how lucky we are to be here. I mean, I've traveled extensively. I've been to Europe a number of times, you know, been around the Midwest, and there's no other place I'd rather live than where I live right here in Sauk County. And just wanted to kind of say that.
Paul, thank you so much for sharing that. And Max, can you leave us with some, I guess, art appreciation tips for enjoying the landscape that Paul was talking about?
Well, I think the last thing I would just say is that how art fits into this, whether it's something like the Fermentation Fest that's coming up October 4th, whether it's any other of the exercises of art in the rural community, is that art reminds us of that connection. It reminds us of who we are and where we come from and what's at stake. And once you see that beauty, once you experience that beauty and feel the beauty that people have been talking about, then in the words of the great American poet William Stafford, who said, "I place my feet carefully in such a world. I think that's what we want to do.
Max, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Max Garland, Wisconsin's Poet Laureate. His essay on Wisconsin's rural landscapes is called Cultivating Wonder. It appeared in the Fermentation Festival newsletter, and it's on their website. And the Reedsburg Fermentation Fest, as he mentioned, takes place from October 4th through 13th.